time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
Yo, welcome back to a special edition of The Game. I am EJ Russell, and we are live here in Moe's Pub in Escanaba. Moe's Pub, 24 TVs, the NFL ticket, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best place in Escanaba to catch a game. Best pub in Escanaba. Like I said, I am EJ Russell, and this is this week's edition of The Hot Seat, special edition of The Game, powered by The Game Entertainment and Media, ESPN 1400. Tyler Ouellette, my co-host, Escanaba Excellence, the notorious N-O-R-S-E, is with me today. Tyler, how are you, my friend?
Oh, EJ, you know, I'm doing great. Happy to be back for week two, really am. We did something right if we're back for week two, I'd say.
And we didn't screw it up too bad. I think we had a little bit of confusion when we were recording about echoes in the mic, but it came out clean. Everything ended up nice. So thanks for coming back, Tyler. Great to have you. And then with us this week on this special edition of The Game, The Hot Seat with EJ Russell and Tyler Ouellette is a dear, dear friend of mine, a guy that gave me the opportunity to do this, brought me into this business. The man, the myth, the legend, co-host, all-around good guy of The Game Sports Show Monday Night Edition on ESPN 1400 WKNW. Again, co-host, all-around good guy, Scott Nason, is here with us. Scott, how are you doing, buddy?
EJ, great to be on the hot seat. Love your first edition. Tyler's a fantastic addition to the family. Impressed with your hosting duties and your intro, so thanks for having me on, guys.
I think I tried to steal a little bit of your entrance there for yourself, and I butchered it a little bit. I mean, I'm no Scott Nason, but I do the best that I can. Tyler, say hi to Scott.
How's it going, Scott?
Tyler, doing great. Always a good time to talk football on a Thursday night. Not real excited about the matchup tonight, but we got a lot more matchups on Sunday. So you guys take the floor and just call on me whenever you want me to talk.
Well, here on the hot seat, the very first thing that we like to get into is our gripes and groans, right? Who's on the hot seat this week? I'll start off by saying first guy that's on the hot seat for me is Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. You cannot punt for a tie and not go for the win in the NFL. Carson Wentz starting 0-2-1. Tyler, I'll let you take this for a little bit. Carson Wentz, Eagles 0-2-1, and then we'll go to Scott.
Yeah, EJ, it's funny. He was on our hot seat last week, so he did not get off the hot seat. Like you said, a tie. Man, I watched the end of that game overtime, and that time management was awful. They had the ball at the 50 with like about 2 minutes to go, and they could not advance the ball to get in better field goal range. They settled for a 56-yarder, I believe it was. A 59-yarder, my bad. 59-yarder, and then they had a false start penalty to push him back, and then they had a kick. They had to punt it, like you said, and ended up tying the Bengals. So, yeah, just really bad management, and Wentz remains on the hot seat because of it.
Scott, Carson Wentz, you're up.
Yeah, he should be on the hot seat, EJ. I agree. I mean, this is a guy that has had a lot of expectations and yet to live up to it. We saw Nick Foles do good things. Oh, by the way, Philadelphia won a Super Bowl and he won an MVP under Nick Foles, but the Eagles continue to go with Wentz, and head coach Doug Peterson defended Wentz and saying it would be a knee-jerk reaction to replace him now. But I agree with what Tyler said. I did watch the end of that game as well, and head-scratching time management there. You line up for a 59-yard field goal, and then yeah, you get a penalty, and obviously you're not going to kick a 64-yarder, so you decide to punt and get the tie. I do like ties, to be honest. EJ knows that, but Philadelphia doesn't need a tie. But the good news for Eagles fans, they're 0-2-1 and a half game out of the brutal NFC East for first place. So I think 8-8 very likely could win that division, but I think if things don't get better in a hurry for Philadelphia and they go to San Francisco, a little banged up 49ers, but still a tough place to play. If they start losing a couple more games, then you got to start looking at maybe Jalen Hurts, because as of now, EJ, Carson Wentz isn't the answer, and he should be on the hot seat.
Oh, yeah, I think the story with Carson Wentz this week has to be inefficiency. You cannot go 29 of 47 and throw two interceptions. Oh, by the way, he only had one touchdown. You throw the ball 47 times, you need to have more than one touchdown. So I don't know if it's Doug Peterson and the scheme that they're putting together, because it worked so well before he went down, and then you had Nick Foles come in really clean up and win that Super Bowl that year. But I don't know if it's the scheme or if it's Carson Wentz, but if I had to put money on it, I think it's Carson Wentz that's the issue. Inefficiency is the issue. And I honestly still, and I know we went in this a little bit last week, he hasn't been the same guy since he got injured. So that could be part of the problem. I think that he has NFL talent, elite NFL talent. He just, whether it's confidence or just the inability to keep up at this position, Carson Wentz is on the hot seat. So whoever his backup is right now, he better be questioning his job, because if I were the Eagles, I'd be trading for Nick Foles. So, Tyler, who's on the second hot seat this week? Scott, you'll go first, and then I'll follow.
All right, EJ. Yeah, so I now have, moving sports to baseball, the Minnesota Twins. I don't know if you knew this. They just lost their 18th straight playoff game, which is the longest streak ever in all U.S. sports. I honestly didn't know that the streak was going on until this year. That's just unreal. And they haven't won one since 2004. And they had a good year this year, which that's, I thought they were going to beat the Astros. I don't know if they're going to sweep them, but I thought they were going to take 2 out of 3 at home against the Houston Astros. They just played bad. I think they had 2 combined runs in 2 games. And that's a team that won the AL Central and really hit the ball well this year. Nelson Cruz had a crazy year. He seems to always come up big. And I don't know that. Yeah. But the Twins, 18 straight playoff losses. I mean, at a point, it's like you get to the playoffs, it's always good, but you got to start winning those games. And Minnesota, in general, sports, they just have a lot of pain in the playoffs, it seems like. So, yeah, the Twins, for sure. Not good.
Scott?
Yeah, the Twins, boy, I mean, it has been a long time. They remind me of the Detroit Pistons' recent playoff record, where I think the Pistons haven't won a playoff game since 2007. They got a streak going like that, and, you know, in baseball, I'm rooting for anybody playing the Houston Astros, basically. You know, I still didn't like what happened with that organization. And so very disappointed in the Twins, you know, playing in the AL Central. They've won a lot of divisions, but they just can't get it done in the playoffs. And, you know, these short series are very dangerous. You look at what Cincinnati did. They didn't even score a run. But I think a lot of people didn't expect them to win that series. A lot of people expected the Twins to beat the Astros, as Tyler said, at home. But, you know, EJ, Minnesota just not getting the job done, and they're going to have to wait another year. Last time they won a World Series, 1991, with former Tiger Jack Morris pitching that Game 7, and what it was a great series against Atlanta. But they're certainly not going to get it done this year. On to next year, Twins.
Yeah, you brought up a great point. The Pistons have a really bad streak too, and I it's crazy to me, like, these playoff streaks. There's, like I said, there's certain franchises that, like the Lions per se, like if you make the playoffs and you lose, it's like you made the playoffs. At this point, you need a playoff. But like if you're a team that continues to make it, you need to win eventually.
Well, here's the thing, though. You can't lose that many consecutive games, Tyler. And I think that that's part of why this stings so bad. I mean, yeah, you can compare them to the Pistons' lackluster performance in the playoffs, or the Lions just finding a way to not win a playoff game. You've done this 18 straight times. And I think this 18. One. It stings a little more because it's Houston, right, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody was looking forward to when the season began before COVID hit. They were going to get a lot of boos. I think they might have gotten a couple games in spring training. I remember one against Detroit where a few of the fans were booing. But, you know, it's just, it's a very tainted organization, and it should be. I mean, they cheated. It was plain and simple. They got caught red-handed, and I guarantee you they weren't and probably still aren't the only team that does that, but they were the world champions and they got busted. And so, yeah, it was really disappointing to see that team move on. But there's a lot of good teams in the American League right now. Oakland and Chicago, it looks like the A's might advance. White Sox are down 2 with in the ninth inning, but you know, the Yankees look strong, as well as Tampa Bay. So I don't see Houston getting out of the American League. I think somebody else of those teams I mentioned is going to get it, and I certainly will be happy to see the Astros go home.
Yeah, Scott, and it's crazy because the Astros, like, their hitters, you could tell the difference this year, how bad their batting averages were. Like, Altuve was dropped almost 100 points, and, like, Springer, Altuve, there's so many. It was such a big difference this year, and I feel like a lot of it, obviously, the cheating has to do with it, but also the fear of not knowing if you're going to get pegged every at bat. And early in the year, they were getting thrown at, and rightfully so. Like you said, they're a tainted organization, and they do deserve that. I mean, Rob Manfred didn't really penalize them. So some of the players, other teams, took it onto themselves and tried to give them the consequence that they deserve. So, yeah, you could definitely tell that they were not as – they were under 500 and snuck into the playoffs this year. So, like you said, I definitely don't think they're going to make it out of the AL. But this is a funny thing. Guess what? They're playing their next playoff series in LA at Dodger Stadium, which is the funniest thing to me. So ironic because they're doing the bubble situation, but that's just irony to me. So hopefully that's where they lose, and I think they will.
All right, that'd be super fitting. So we're going to talk about our last gripe and groan, final hot seat for the three this week, Atlanta Falcons football. I mean, I said it last week, Tyler, and you were like, no, he's one of the best. Well, guess what? They find a way to screw it up again. Dan Quinn and Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons cannot find ways to close out games. So I've got them on the hot seat this week. Scott, what are your thoughts on the Atlanta Falcons right now?
The Atlanta Falcons are just a mess. I don't think there's any other way that you can look at it. I mean, the Dallas game, okay, you know, maybe that was a fluke with the onside kick and the spin and not knowing how to jump on it. Fine, you move on. You got a Bears team coming in, 2-0. You're playing at home. You got an offense. Yeah, they have some offense banged up in Jones, but you know, you still have a lot of weapons and they came out in the first half and looked good. And Mitchell Trubisky did not. And you know, you looked at that game, I think it was 26-10 or it was a 16-point lead late in that third quarter. And well, then Nick Foles comes in and does what he does. Now, again, give credit to Nick Foles, give credit to the Bears, but you said it on the Monday night show, EJ, talking about time management and Matt Ryan. And not all the blame should go on Matt Ryan, but a lot of it should, because you got that big a lead. You got to know the situation. And, you know, you're not exactly taking on an offensive juggernaut in the Chicago Bears. Bears have done this twice this year. We saw that in week one at Ford Field. But, you know, Dan Quinn, you know, up until Sunday, I thought maybe Matt Patricia was going to be one of the first coaches fired here this season. You got to start questioning Quinn's job stability in Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta is not good. They're better than their 0-3 record, but they can't find a way to win these games, EJ. And they got to go to Green Bay Monday night, a Green Bay team that is on fire. Aaron Rodgers is playing some mad football, and that defense, while it bends, it doesn't break. So Atlanta very well could be 0-4, and Mr. Quinn might be looking over his shoulder because his job, I think, EJ, should be certainly in jeopardy at this point.
Now, Scott, I hope we didn't have a technical glitch there. I couldn't hear you for a minute. Tyler could. We'll let that one ride. It's about 2 seconds of dead air, so I apologize if that did happen. But, Tyler, Atlanta Falcons, you're up.
Yeah, like Scott, they were up 26-10 late. I think it was in the fourth, at the beginning of the fourth. Yeah, then Nick Foles happened. And, okay, Nick Foles, I do think, is better than Trubisky. But as the Falcons, like you guys said, you can't keep doing this. They're turning into the Lions at to a point of blowing crazy leads and finding impressive ways to lose football games. And honestly, as a Lions fan, I hope they take all of that over and keep screwing up. Then we can laugh at them all the time. But, no, yeah, it's just bad. And Dan Quinn has to be gone. And they're going to get killed in Green Bay. I really do think that. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be a little closer than people think, but they're going to lose that game 0-4 to start the season. Coming into this, ever since the Super Bowl, coming into this year, there are 500 records. So that's just mediocre all around. So they, since the Super Bowl, they haven't been the same. Dan Quinn's just sticking around for some reason. I really don't know why, but he has to go. So,
well, he was supposed to be touted this great defensive coach. Wasn't he the favorite for that Seahawks job when right before Pete Carroll got hired there? He was the name that was getting thrown around. Listen, Matt Ryan went, and I'm going to pull the stat line out here. Matt Ryan went 19 of 38. Nick Foles got pulled in the game late and went 16 of 29. He threw 9 less passes and had 3 less completions and threw 3 times as many touchdowns. Efficiency is the issue in Atlanta. And I think that this team this year, what's hurting them the most is running back position, okay? Todd Gurley's a guy that hasn't found a way in L.A. to stay healthy. Comes over this Atlanta team that when they went to the Super Bowl had a two-headed monster at running back. They had Coleman and they had Freeman. And those two guys aren't giving you that 1-2 punch, right? Look at a lot of the teams that are successful right now. I'll give this to my Cleveland Browns for a second, right? I'll give you this as an example. They got a great two-headed monster in Tariq Hill. and not Tariq Hill, excuse me. What am I talking about? Kareem Hunt. Sorry, I thought Chiefs for a second. Kareem Hunt, who is a Cleveland native, went to Willoughby High. And then you have Nick Chubb, great running back out of Georgia, who can really carry the load for a team. And it just looks like such a great power runner. And, oh, by the way, when he just happens to get a little bit tired, here comes a guy that led the NFL in rushing. And Atlanta had that 1-2 punch. So I think that, what's happening in Atlanta, it revolves around the big contract that Matt Ryan got. You know, yes, he won the NFL MVP that 1 year. But since that's happened, now they can't afford these other pieces. Now the running game's suffering. You're bringing in a guy like Todd Gurley that hasn't been able to stay healthy. I just don't think that what they're doing right now is the recipes for success. And talking about recipes for success, I know it's Thursday, but a dual victory Thursday here. Browns wins, Lion win.
That's might be the only time it happens this year.
Let's go.
Do it, though.
This never happens.
It never happens. I'm so happy.
Doesn't happen.
Let's talk a little bit of Lions. Enjoyed the Browns game a little bit much, so my memory might be a little hazy of the Lions game. Did catch some of it. I know I saw you here. So, Scott, we'll give you the floor here for a second. Lions victory Monday/Thursday here. What are your thoughts on the Lions game?
Well, as Tyler knows, being a Lions fan, there's always those times where the Lions do this. And certainly, it was a good game for the Detroit Lions. Going out to Arizona, not a lot of people thought they would win, and they mixed some things up. Adrian Peterson ran the ball well, 75 yards over 20 carries. Matt Stafford didn't make that big mistake. The Lions' defense was better. It wasn't great, but, you know, new quarterback Jeff Okuda looked better. And they had some help with Kyler Murray not looking very good. So things went the Lions' way, and it was a good victory. I think the coaching staff should be commended. The defense mixed up some man-to-man and zone, something that Patricia and his defensive scheme doesn't always do. And so I'm going to be interested to see what they do this week, because as Tyler knows, as a Lions fan, you expect the bottom to follow. And I still think this team is not good. I still think the Lions need to go another direction as far as general managers and coaches. I'm not a Bob Quinn fan. I'm not a Matt Patricia fan either. I think both that are achieved, and the writing's on the wall if this team doesn't, perform well. Now, the good news for the Lions is after this week, they get a bye and the schedule lightens up a bit. They have some winnable games on the schedule, but, you know, Tyler, you're a little bit younger than me. Actually, you're a lot of bit younger than me. I've been watching this team since the mid 80s, and I have one.
He's got you by. He's got you by a few years and a few pieces of hair on his head.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for that comment there, trying to keep my young persona still going, at least on the radio for those Escanaba.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
Can they ever help themselves?
No, we can't. No, absolutely not. But, you know, it was a good week for the Lions. I'm still suspect. We're going to see what happens on Sunday against New Orleans. I'm a little concerned with Drew Brees and his arm strength right now. But I guess if you pass to Kamara and he gets a couple touchdowns like that, you don't have to worry about it. So this is a big game, I think, for the Lions. It's a big game for New Orleans, too. Every game's big in the NFL. But, you know, last week the Lions did enough to get the victory. But consistency has been the missing link, or the weakest link, that TV show's back on the air, for this franchise now, looking for their second playoff victory in 63 years. Think about that. That is a shame. So, Tyler, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about our beloved Detroit Lions.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, you said a lot of good things about the Lions' win. Okay, I, for one, did not think they're going to go into Arizona and win that football game.
I didn't either.
And the one thing, I have to make this little comment, they seem to play in Arizona every year, if not every other year, and I don't understand why, but it's never at home. Or they just play them every year. It's weird. And last year, you know, they tied week one, which was such a Lion thing to do. But yeah, this one was huge. I thought I saw a lot of good things. You mentioned Okuda. First two matchups of his career, Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins. That's brutal. That's very hard to jump into, but I thought he looked a lot more aggressive and comfortable this week. Had a pick, his first career interception, and a great read of the route.
Is it because he's in better shape than he was when he came to camp?
I think that could have something to do with it. You're Ohio State Buckeye, Jeffrey Okuda over there. I thought that was what you were going to comment about.
I was definitely not going to bring that up, but since you're going to, yeah, he is a Buckeye.
the Buckeyes do produce many NFL talents. Anyway, Okuda looked great. I thought one of the keys was the fourth quarter. The Cardinals had the ball two times, and the Lions forced two punts. That is so impressive. They controlled time of possession, not only in the game, but the fourth quarter. Lions had two field goals in the fourth and ended up – it's funny because they had a big pass touchdown about 5 minutes to go, called back on holding, but it ended up working out for once for the Detroit Lions. They ended up bleeding out the clock, game-winning field goal, Matt Prater. But, that was a big key, the fourth, and forcing three interceptions on Kyler Murray, who is a very, very good quarterback. That might be the most he has in a game all year, honestly. And who would have thought it'd be against the Detroit Lions? But big game coming up against the Saints. Like you said, Scott, Drew Brees' arm strength definitely a little. It's a mystery right now, I would say, because he didn't throw any deep balls against Green Bay. But we'll see how that goes. But like you said, Kamara is definitely an issue. So hopefully the Lions get Desmond Trufant back this week. So Trufant and Okuda would be nice to have. In the same game. So, yeah.
So before we let Scott go, we'll get him for the last piece here and talk a little bit about Cleveland Browns football. Cleveland Browns find a way to squeak out a win. Squeak out. I mean, they beat him pretty handily, but Browns go to 2-1 with a 34-20 victory over the Washington football team. And I had to stop myself for a second from almost saying what I wasn't supposed to say. But
it's gonna happen
Browns.
A lot, I think.
I know it's terrible. I actually said it the other day and got into a little argument about whether or not the team name should or should not have been changed and whatever. We're not going to get into that. But the Browns find a way to beat the Washington football team. Scott, first take. What do you got?
I love the Browns game right now. Running the ball, the best two-headed attack in all of football with Nick Chubb. That happens to be on a couple of my fantasy teams. Thank you very much, Nick Chubb. And Kareem Hunt catching passes. And
I got Chubb, too.
Yeah, you said it to me, EJ. You know, Mayfield needs that running game, and he needs not to make that big mistake, and he hasn't. And, you know, give credit to the offensive line for a lot of that improved Browns play, and that's turned out to be a pretty good division. Well, a very good division in the AFC North. Of course, Pittsburgh now not going to play this week due to COVID with Tennessee. Baltimore got brought down earth a bit by Kansas City, but, you know, Cleveland's right in the mix, and a big test for them in Dallas. You know, a Dallas team ripe for the picking right now. That defense in Dallas is not good. So if the Browns can run the ball and give the ball to Chubb and get Hunt in there, and Mayfield, you know, doesn't have to make that big mistake or make that 80-yard bomb that he has to, I think Cleveland has a shot in this game. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Dallas is playing desperate, but heck, they can be 1-3 and still in first place in that lousy division.
Scott, you said a lot of good things about the Browns. I have nothing against the Browns, and it would be more funny if I did, because EJ and I do this podcast, but I don't, sadly.
You're darn right you got nothing against these Browns, otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Right. We share the same pain, Lions, Browns, same thing. Anyway, but I do see the Browns have so much talent on the offensive side of the football. From receivers, obviously the two star running backs, and Mayfield is the key piece to that offense. If he doesn't make that one bad play, they're golden. And Odell, I'm a huge Odell Beckham fan. I think he's not overrated. I think he was an awful position in on the Giants organization. And he makes those big plays. You get him on a slant. It's same with Landry. Those are two star-studded. I think Landry's super underrated. The amount of catches he has week to week. Get him in open space, and he's gone, just like Odell. Obviously, they're teammates at LSU, which was cool. But anyway, yeah, the Browns offensively, they have all the talent in the world. And 2-1 right now in a really tough division, so every game matters, of course. This week in Dallas, they might squeak that one out. I mean, Dallas hasn't looked bad. Very close losses and close win against the Falcons. But it's going to be an interesting game. That's a game I'm looking forward to for sure, though. So Cleveland Browns and... They covered this week, which is big for certain people.
That's the most important.
huge.
I'm probably the only one that is not that high on the Browns this week going into Dallas, and I'll explain why in a second. But Baker Mayfield minimizing turnovers, getting two touchdowns, no interceptions. And that is exactly what the Cleveland Browns need him to do in order to continue to win football games. I think that I don't want to say that Odell's overrated, and I know you mentioned that some people think that he might be. I think that the reason that Odell can work with Jarvis Landry, who I think has been the most important piece on the outside for the Cleveland Browns since he joined the team a couple years ago. I think if Odell can just right now, if we're going to continue to make this team that we have on the field work in Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns, guys like Odell, Jarvis, who fully understands that he's not going to catch as many passes as he might from a superstar quarterback. If Odell can make the plays when the ball gets to him, whether that be 5 times a game or 10 times a game or 2 times a game, as long as he can be okay with winning and continue to try to make this work, I think that him and Jarvis Landry are the best pair of wide receivers to not be the main piece on their team, because it definitely revolves around the running game. When you have a talent like Nick Chubb, you have to keep running the football. When you have a second option like Kareem Hunt, you have to give him the ball. And it's even better when he gets the ball, because Cleveland natives know that that guy's from Cleveland, and that means something to us. And then, oh, by the way, Baker, just don't screw it up and continue to do your Progressive commercials, and we'll be fine.
Or the Hulu commercials. Those are bad, too.
Hulu has live sports, if you didn't hear it. So, Scott, I know that you got to get going here, but thank you so much for joining us this week. I know Tyler's excited to finally get on the air with you, but just like you do for every one of us on your show, on the Monday Night Edition, whatever show it is. Scott, what do you got going on this week, buddy?
Well, EJ, first of all, again, thanks for having me on the show. We'll have the show posted to the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. It'll also be on our main platform, thegamesportshow.com. Lots of downloads from the area. We get stats as far as who's listening and where, and Escanaba and Delta County knows lots of COVID going on there, so maybe more people are at home listening to the shows. Make sure you check out some of our other shows as well on there. Coming up on Monday, EJ, we're going to be back on the radio. We've been online during this pandemic, but we'll be back on ESPN 1400 locally here in Sault Ste. Marie for our 2-hour show Monday nights, 6 to 8 o'clock. We talk a lot of local sports here in the Upper Peninsula, as well as regional and national sports. EJ joins us as one of the co-hosts, myself, Butch Davis from Detroit, who attends all the Detroit professional sports, and our good friend David McKeg from Sault, Ontario, joins the show. So we're very excited for that. Looking forward to getting outside this weekend. Weather looks a little better, and thanks again, guys, for having me on the show. I'll come on from time to time, but you guys do a great job, and certainly our listeners here enjoy the show, and we're looking forward to more.
Well, this time I'm not going to butcher the exit. Scott, co-host, contributor, all-around good guy, thanks for coming on this week. Appreciate it.
Thanks, EJ, and Tyler, keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Thanks for joining.
See ya.
Oh, it drops a bomb on the way out. I like that. So Scott's hopping off here. Tyler, I know that we had some time restrictions, kind of want to crunch down on a few topics here. I think we got to briefly touch on, we're going to continue a little bit of NFL talk for about 2 more things here. Kansas City played the Baltimore Ravens this week, an absolute dynamite matchup that everybody wanted to watch, potential AFC championship game rematch coming in the near future. What are your thoughts on the Kansas City Baltimore game? Let's spend about 5 minutes on this. I'll give you about 2, 2.5, and then we're going to jump into the next part of our NFL talk before we move on to NBA, where there needs to be a little bit of talk there between you and I. But quick hit, Kansas City Baltimore.
Yes. So that game was kind of underwhelming, mostly because of Baltimore, really. I don't know. Mahomes, he Hall of Famer, Patty Mahomes. Sorry about that, EJ. He is going to be. It's going to be him and Lamar for the foreseeable future. And right now, Mahomes, it's all him. And he's currently 3-0 against the Ravens in his career. I think it's only 2 games against Lamar, though. Yeah, but it was ugly. It was. KC went down early, but really rebounded. It was too easy on offense for Mahomes, like it usually is. Fun fact about Mahomes in September. He is 10-0 in the month of September in his career, 32 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and averages 330 yards per game. So going into this, I didn't know that. That popped up kind of during the cast, but unreal stats, unreal. But he continued to dominate, and I want to give a shout-out to Eric Fisher, Central Michigan alum. First round. What's that?
He is a Central Michigan alum. I like that guy. They're a lineman factory there, and you jumped on me a bit before I wanted you to finish, but lineman factory. Fire up chips.
Fire up chips. Fire up chips. Scored a receiving touchdown from Patty Mahomes, so I bet you he keeps that football. But, yeah, 34-20, the Chiefs win. the Ravens did make it kind of interesting in the third quarter, or beginning of the fourth. They made it a one-score game. But as soon as he did that, Mahomes led a really, really long drive for a touchdown. I think that was the one to Eric Fisher in the fourth. And they sealed the deal, 34-20. So the score looks closer than it was. The Chiefs dominated this football game. I was a little upset, honestly. I was hoping for more fireworks, so from Lamar especially.
Well, I think that one thing that a lot of people are missing in this game, because they're focusing on Lamar versus a Hall of Famer, Patrick Mahomes, and thank you for correcting yourself. I certainly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's how you say his name, Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. Boy, went 31 of 42, four tutties. That's his name, Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes, okay? Lamar Jackson, I understand, is an incredible rushing talent. You cannot have 75 combined rushing yards from the rest of your running back in Edwards, Ingram, and Dobbins, okay? Dobbins, you're better than one carry and 6 yards a game. I mean, great yards per carry, average one carry, 6 yards. I'll take that every time. 6 yards in a cloud of dust, just walk right down the field. But you have to get more production from your running backs, because that's what's going to make Lamar more effective. The play action is what helps him become more dangerous. The play action and the trickery that they can use him with, because of his different skills that he possesses, his ability to evade rushes and roll out of the pocket and make plays with his legs. He can't be 83 yards and everybody else be 75. Okay. He threw the ball 15 completions for 97 yards. That's not very good. Okay.
Not at all.
He threw 38 touchdowns, led the NFL in touchdowns last year. What you did against Kansas City was not the MVP type of performance that people expected. I think if this game was 30-34, I think we'd be okay, and I think Lamar's stats would be a little bit higher. I think we were maybe two quarters away from seeing that happen. But every time you keep Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes on the field, he's going to do incredible things. He finds ways to make that team dangerous, and he's absolutely, in my opinion, outside of maybe Russell Wilson, is absolutely the best quarterback, pure quarterback in this league.
He is. He is the best quarterback right now. And you mentioned the play-action impact for Baltimore that they do not have because of the lack of rushing from their running backs. That's Kansas City, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. I mean, come on, a rookie running back. He 20 carries. Okay, I don't care if he only has 64 yards, but the fact that they give that to him 20 times, that sets up
trust.
So much trust in him, one, and that sets up so much because Baltimore knows he's good. You know, he proved week one. He proved it, that he's good. He had a crazy good game week one. And they didn't really have that running. It didn't seem like they still won the Super Bowl, but you add that weapon, first-round pick. I mean, come on. That just makes him so much more electric, and, yeah, it's scary.
All right, final hit before we move on to the NFL. Two teams that just look dynamite this year are Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I've got it nailed down to these two teams right now myself. Who's the best team in the National Football League, Buffalo or Green Bay? If those are your options, who do you got?
So are those my options? Like, do you want me to
pick? That's it. No, you don't get to pick. It's Buffalo or Green Bay because they look unbeatable, both of them. You don't get to pick. Those are the two best teams in the NFL. You're on the hot seat right now, so tell us who the number one team in the league is right now.
All right. So if these two options, Green Bay and Buffalo, because I'm on the hot seat, I will pick. It's the Packers.
You don't get to kick Kansas City because it's too obvious, but you got to go the next best team.
I got you. It's Green Bay. I hate the Packers so much, but it's the Packers. It is. It's painful. Matt LaFleur is like 16-3 so far in his career, and no one talks about it. Sean McVay is more hyped still than Matt LaFleur, and he's done a great job for the Packers, and I really wish he hasn't because the Packers, Buffalo. Good for them. 3-0. They beat a good Rams team. Almost blew that game. It was a crazy game. They're up 28-3, the most dangerous lead in football. 28-3. Ended up losing or winning 32-28. So, yeah. The score, they were up by a lot and ended up still winning. But, it's the Packers.
I like Green Bay. I like what they're doing. I like the way that LaFleur has set that team up for success. But what Josh Allen is doing since adding Stephon Diggs to that lineup and the way that offense is performing is unreal. okay? Buffalo, get ready for a Super Bowl trip, because if Josh Allen keeps playing this way, you guys are getting there. After the first half, it was 21-3. And then, oh, by the way, they're going to drop another two touchdowns the rest of the way. Ended up being a close game against a tough Los Angeles Rams team, finding a way to win at 35-32. But this is also a Rams team that played very competitively against the Cowboys, who I think are far better than their record this year. In fact, if I were to place a wager on this, I would take the Cowboys' money line over the Browns. In fact, I'd probably even take the over on this game, because I think Dallas is going to light up the Browns this week. But the Bills are for real. Josh Allen is for real. Another game, 300-plus yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Very efficient, 24-33. Jared Goff had a great day, too, 23-32, 321, and 2 touchdowns. But what Josh Allen is doing in Buffalo is unbelievable. He to me, when I see him play, you want to talk about quarterbacks to find ways to extend plays, right? We're talking about Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. We're talking about Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson. These guys find ways to extend plays. Ben Roethlisberger is the best example of a big boy that can extend plays. And Allen is a better version of Ben Roethlisberger. So me right now, if I got to pick a team that's not named the Kansas City Chiefs, led by Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes, it's got to be Buffalo and Josh Allen, because what they're doing on the offensive side is fantastic. The defense has been playing very well. They're going to find ways to be successful. Buffalo better than Green Bay, in my opinion. So you got what? Spit it out, boy. If you're going to talk a little smack about Buffalo, you better make this count.
No, I'm not going to talk anything bad about Buffalo. I love the Bills. I think it's electric that they're a good football team. Buffalo, Bills Mafia, man. Come on. Come on. For them to be good.
They're almost as good as Browns fans.
Sure, almost, CJ, almost.
We don't break tables, we break hearts.
Okay, that's a good one. The Bills Mafia loves to break tables, and I respect them for that. But no, Bills, top five right now. I honestly have the Seahawks in front of the Packers and the Bills because of Russell Wilson. So I'm gonna.
You don't. Okay, but that. Oh, I'm talking. Let's. That's an NFC team. Okay. Besides Kansas City, Buffalo is a team. Like, who do you have in front? Seattle or Green Bay?
Seattle, Green Bay.
Yeah.
Seattle, because of Russell Wilson.
So Russell Wilson, who. And I'm going to use
actually,
this argument.
One sec. Chris Carson just went down. That's big. He needs strength.
No, it's you're good here. I'll give you that bailout. I'm not going to hold you to that with Chris Carson going down, because I'm going to count all 3 weeks here. How many MVP votes has Russell Wilson ever received? I don't agree with this, but how many MVP votes has he received?
Zero for some reason.
Does Aaron Rodgers have an MVP? Do both of them have Super Bowls? So yes. if you got to give the edge here, I like the way that Green Bay set it up this year. I like me some Seahawks. I like me some Russell Wilson. But if I'm going to take experience here, Russell Wilson never had a losing season his entire career yet. It's something no quarterback's ever done. But Aaron Rodgers is the most arm-talented and smartest quarterback that I've ever seen play the game. And the way that Matt LaFleur set him up with the run last year, I'll be as ballsy as to say, I think Green Bay is a better football team than the Seahawks at this exact moment. We're going to end NFL talk on that just so that I can say that I was right and you don't get a chance to rebuttal here. Ha, ha, ha. But, hey, we're going to roll right into the NBA, okay?
One second. First, I hope they meet in the playoffs. That's all I'm going to say.
I hope they do, too.
You're muted.
Oh, well, you got to call me out on air if I'm muted. He tells me I'm muted. Come on.
Rookie mistake by EJ. Oh. Mutes his mic. Who does that?
He got me there. I muted my mic. But anyways, I do hope they meet in the playoffs again, but I hope they get the replacement officials again so we get another terrible call in the end zone. That's what I was saying.
That'd be a lot more fun. A lot more fun.
But NBA talk, we're getting to that. First of all, I got my billfold here. I'm going to pull out $20 of Monopoly money. Can you hear that in the mic, crinkling? That's not real money, because I would never do that.
It's a real $20 bill.
That is thanks. That's for the Celtics getting beat by the Miami Heat, who have made it to the NBA Finals. But before we get in the NBA Finals, which we're definitely going to do, breaking news, big news today, right before we started the show. And that's that. Doc Rivers has been hired to a five-year deal, since five-year contract with the Philadelphia 76ers. Tyler, let's hit this quick. I like Doc Rivers. I like this hire. What say you?
Yeah.
Almost forget to unmute your mic?
I'm watching you now.
Okay. What should we play last week's recording where you didn't mute your mic? Is this your first time doing a podcast? Knock it off.
All right. Anyway. So yeah, Doc Rivers. It's funny because before the show today, it happened like 2 hours before we started, I think. I literally wrote down on my notes, where is he going next? And 5 minutes later on my phone buzzed, the 76ers decided to sign Rivers to a 5-year deal, which that's a good commitment. Doc Rivers, you know, I think he is a good coach. Some people will say he's overrated. He won his only ring with the Celtics, the big three Celtics, obviously. But the 76ers, a lot of talent on that team.
I'm going to pause you for a second. I almost want to call that the big four because Rondo was there too. Okay, and Rondo's a piece that we're going to talk about in a minute. So let's make sure that we add a little respect to Rondo's name on that Celtics side with Doc Rivers.
All right, I got you. I respect that. But yeah, it's an interesting fit. You got Embiid, obviously, and Ben Simmons, who are two. I think Ben Simmons is a great, if he could ever shoot the ball, and he's an all-star without shooting the ball, you know. And I don't know. I hope maybe Rivers can fix that. First thing he does makes Simmons shoot 1,000 threes. But the Sixers really underwhelming in the playoffs. They really have. They just fired their coach Brett Brown after a couple of years, so it was time for a change. But they do have a good core there and a young core. And Embiid's he might be the second best center behind Anthony Davis in the NBA. So if there's anyone that can really fix that organization and make them into something into the playoffs, Doc Rivers was definitely the best candidate this year. So I'm excited to see how that 10th year goes in Philadelphia.
Well, let's look at Doc Rivers' body of work, okay? Coached the Magic from 99 to 2000, 41-41, break even, okay? 04-05 with the Celtics, 45-37, great year. 13-14 with the Clippers, 57-25, great year. So this is a guy that knows how to have some successful teams. Like, let's talk about the 99-2000 Magic. Their best record that he had with them was that 41-41. It's a team that usually has a losing record, so you can break even there, okay? But that Celtics team was fantastic. The talent that he's had with the Clippers has been fantastic. I love Doc Rivers with Joel Embiid. I think that is a great fit there because I think that Joel Embiid, incredible trash talker, by the way, reminds me. I mean, if his English was better, he'd be Kevin Garnett, I think. he thinks that quick-witted. He's a very smart guy. But I like the way that he plays the game. He can bring it to the outside, which Anthony Davis does that a little bit better. But Joel Embiid can bring the game outside. I think the piece for me that tells me if Doc Rivers is good is how can you improve Ben Simmons' game? Because they do have other support pieces that are good. Are they still paying Al Horford way too much money in Philadelphia?
Tobias Harris.
Right? Whatever. Yeah, him too. But, I mean, he's a good player, but he's getting overpaid.
Sure.
He's getting overpaid for the amount of work that he's doing on that team. Like, sure, you can give him that contract and go play for Orlando, but or Phoenix, give him that kind of money. And
right, put
him
right.
But you better be paying Devin Booker if you're going to bring him Phoenix. But I like Doc Rivers here. I think that the piece is, and I think you nailed it on the money, can he make Ben Simmons more efficient in the shooting? Okay, if you're going to be a point guard in this NBA, you can't just be a distributor. You have to be willing to score. Like, what was it? A couple weeks ago, Kemba Walker had 8 points in the one game, but he had a ton of assists, right? Distributed the ball. A thing that I like about the NHL that I don't like about the NBA is in the NHL, you can get a secondary assist, right? You can have a goal with two assists because the pass to the pass matters. And I think that
pass is almost more important in NBA a lot of the time.
You have to see it ahead of time. Get that guy to go here to get this guy to go there. So the ball ends up there and the ball goes in the hoop. And I wish the NBA did secondary assists on those quick hit plays because sometimes that pass is more important. I think that's what Ben Simmons does well. He moves the ball around and works the offense, but he's got to be more of a scorer. He definitely needs to learn how to shoot a three-pointer because every time he makes one, it's like, oh my God, this guy's evolving.
He only has like
2 in his career, I'm pretty sure. I saw that. I thought it was a joke. But I looked it up.
No, that's real. you're probably right. I think he made his first one last season. Or at the end, I think it was this season, was his first three-pointer. I think he made his second in the same year, or it was either last year was one and this year was the other. But Doc Rivers in Philly, I think that's going to work well. So
I have one more comment on that, actually. So Tobias Harris, which I just mentioned, who is he's a pretty solid player. He's probably their third fiddle with, obviously, like Simmons and Embiid. He played under Doc Rivers in L.A., and he had his best year of his career with Doc Rivers before he got traded that year. That half of the year, he was averaging 20 points on 50% shooting and 43% from the three-point line. So if Rivers somehow, if he could do that, make Tobias maximize his talent there, that's a huge piece for the 76ers. So definitely be interested to see.
So we'll get into the NBA Finals here. Lakers show up 1-0 after last night's game. Big man winning money on the Heat. Do you take him here? Who do you have in the NBA Finals? Give us your full breakdown here. I'll give you as much time as you want. You're a basketball player, Bay College Student Athlete of the Year basketball player. Tyler, your NBA input on this category to me is super important. So, Tyler, who do you got in the finals? Why? Who do you like?
All right. Thank you, EJ. So last night, dominant performance by the Lakers, winning 116-98. I was watching that game, and LeBron is in a different mindset right now. So the bubble, in my opinion, has been wild because the Lakers and Heat, the last two teams remaining, have been there forever, like months in this one area. And you can say, like, oh, they're NBA players, they're getting the best treatment, but still, that's one area, Orlando, for months. Like, that's crazy. And I think LeBron wants to get out of there. He wants to get out. He wants to sweep these Heat. And last night was a dominant performance. He went crazy. Anthony Davis went crazy. When those two play together like they were, it's scary. And then you got KCP, who was a starter, 13 points, had a really good first quarter. I think he had 10 after the first quarter, kind of slowed down there. But, Caruso off the bench had a good game. Markieff Morris is shooting well. The Heat showed when they're on full cylinders what they are capable of. And the Heat just looked out of sorts. They seemed like they weren't ready for this. And they had no one. Heat were a 5 seed making it to the finals, which is impressive in itself. And just unfortunate that they had to play the Lakers. And really big thing is Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic, two starters for the Miami Heat.
Big injuries.
Huge. And I think I saw they're doubtful for game two. That's two starters. Bam has been your only big, really. Him and Kelly Olynyk, maybe. Kelly Olynyk has barely played. But it's major. That is major.
Bill Olynyk hasn't been anything that mattered to me since he was at Gonzaga. Okay. Yes, he was a great college player, but when it comes to this NBA Finals for me, there are two names that matter more than anything else, and the first is LeBron James and his co-pilot Anthony Davis, who they're going to end up getting. Anthony Davis, his first NBA Finals championship ring. LeBron can add his fourth ring with three teams. Aren't many guys who have done that. I don't know if I don't know the stat here, but has any player ever won three championships with three different teams?
I'm not sure, but I know for sure no player has dominated or led each team like he has. There might be like a bench player who's been on, let's say, three different teams that's done it, but LeBron's been the star and the number one player in every one of those teams. So maybe someone has, but it doesn't even matter because it's LeBron and he's been the best on those teams.
Lake Shore winning the NBA championship. I love giving the guys that listen, the guys and gals that listen to the show, an opportunity to hear a basketball player's perspective on the series. But I think it comes down to the greatest player ever to play the game and probably the most talented number two that he's ever played with outside of Dwayne Wade, because that relationship that they had, not just his teammates but his friends, made them better than what I think he and Anthony Davis could be. But I think Anthony Davis is a better talent than Dwayne Wade. I don't know if what I'm trying to get at here makes sense. I think that Dwayne Wade's career was made better by LeBron because of their personal relationship, and it made Dwayne Wade play so much better. I don't think that LeBron and AD have that kind of relationship, but I think that AD is so talented in the role that he plays at the center position that there's no way that the Lakers show don't steamroll their way to a championship.
100%. Yeah, Anthony Davis is a better player than D Wade, but their personal relationship, well, that's why that's how he ended up in Miami, was because of D Wade, and that's how D Wade ended up in Cleveland at one point.
That's right.
That didn't work out as well, obviously, but no, yeah, Anthony Davis he's the best player that LeBron has played with, and he's a top five talent right now, Anthony Davis is, and it's awesome to see AD finally in this deep into the postseason and performing as well. It looks so easy for him. But okay, the Heat aren't the craziest team he's going to have to play in the finals, because they're going to make the finals again if they stay together.
I'd take here, because I know we're talking about NBA, but we've got the Thursday Night Football game on here. Jets are playing the Broncos. Do you know though Frank Gore was on the Jets? I had no idea that Frank Gore was still in the league.
I watched a Southern Mississippi game this year, and his son is now in college playing running back for Southern Mississippi. So,
and I just saw a stat line that Frank Gore has 14-plus consecutive seasons with at least 500 rushing yards. He's playing for the Jets this year. You know what? Do you want to put something on this game? I'll take the Jets. The Broncos, they don't have much of a quarterback right now, but I'll take the Jets in this game. So, Tyler, New York Jets football, J-E-T-S, Jets, Frank Gore, New York Jets playing Denver Broncos. What do you got?
I have the Broncos still. You know, Broncos are going all the way to the East Coast, whatever. Injuries everywhere in this matchup. It's bad. Bell's out for the Jets. Drew Locke's out for the Broncos, starting quarterback. They're starting their third-string quarterback right now. He's a second year out of Boise State, Brett Ripon.
Ripon,
thank you. Thank you, EJ. But I can't see the Jets. They have no offensive talent. Their offensive line has been bad. Jamison Crowder is playing tonight for the Jets. They're number one, but still got Broncos in this one.
So we're having a few technical snafus tonight. So we were going to do a little baseball, a little more college football, but we'll briefly end on this, and then we'll sign off here for the listeners of the hot seat here from Moe's Pub Live in Escanaba, 24 TVs, NFL ticket. And multiple local craft beers on tap. Just the best pub in Escanaba. Best place to catch a game. Most pub in Escanaba. Tyler, college football, we're going to end it on this. Which is a bigger loss? LSU losing to Mississippi State or Oklahoma taking the L to the Little Apple in Kansas State?
I thought of this for a while, and it has to be the Oklahoma game. I mean, okay, so LSU did come off, obviously, winning the national championship. But Oklahoma doesn't really lose in the Big 12. And the Big 12 is way weaker than the SEC. So I have to go with Oklahoma. That's kind of that's a really embarrassing loss to Kansas State, who's not a crazy good program. I mean, Mississippi State's not – I would take Mississippi State over Kansas State. But Oklahoma, they haven't won any – like LSU just won a championship, right? So if Oklahoma would have won one and then lost the first game, it's like, oh, they just won like LSU did. So I think it has to be Oklahoma. That's a huge loss at home.
I like Mississippi State better than bringing up LSU losing or Oklahoma losing, right? Oklahoma always loses a game every year, and they end up finding a way this weekend. Big 12, they don't play defense there anyways. But LSU, defending national champion Ed Ogeron-led team, loses to Mike Leach's Mississippi State Bulldogs. I like Mike Leach.
Mike Leach.
Incredible success in Texas Tech. Incredible success Washington State. The dude knows how to win football games. And, oh, by the way, he's great for a bunch of good sound bites, by the way. So we'll wrap up college football on that. I'll take the Bulldogs. And Mike Leach is the best part of that weekend. But out of LSU and Oklahoma, bigger deal for Oklahoma to lose because they're a team that a lot of us thought were going to be in the playoffs. LSU, you still had to deal with Alabama. You still had to deal with Florida. You still had to deal with damn Bulldogs from Mississippi State from the South. So bigger deal for Oklahoma, but Mississippi State learned a lot about them, Mike Leach led team this year. So Tyler, that is the end of the first episode, or excuse me, not the first.
Second,
first episode,
DJ.
First episode with a special guest, Scott Nason. Thank you so much for coming on from the Monday Night Edition of the Game Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Check us out on thegamesportsshow.com, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Check out all the latest episodes there. Also powered by ESPN 1400. Tyler, we're going to wrap up the show here, do our sign-off. What's going on for you? What did I say? Escanaba Excellence, the notorious N-O-R-S-E. That's going to be a thing from now on. But Tyler, what you got going on this week?
Hey, that has a ring to it, EJ. I don't think I can repeat exactly what you just said, but that definitely has a ring to it. Yeah, this weekend, I said this last time, but watching a lot of sports, you know, that's what I do. And Saturday off, so a lot of football to watch there, and then got the Lions and Saints. So looking forward to that. Then we got Thursday night, the best matchup we could ask for in the Broncos and Jets. So
just the greatest matchup than anyone could ever ask for. But Tyler Ouellette, thank you so much for being on this week. I'll give it to you one more time just so you can hear it. Escanaba Excellence, the notorious N-O-R-S-E, Bay College Student Athlete of the Year. Tyler Ouellette, thanks for being on the show this week.
All right, thank you, EJ.
Again, special thanks to Scott Nason, co-host, contributor, all-around good guy from Monday Night Edition of the Game, powered by ESPN 1400, the Game Entertainment Media. Scott Nason, thank you for joining us tonight. Again, you can catch out every episode of the Game Sports Show, again, powered by the Game Entertainment Media and ESPN 1400 on thegamesportsshow.com. Check us out online on our podcast, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. For Tyler Ouellette, Escanaba Excellence, the notorious N-O-R-S-E, I am EJ Russell. He's Tyler Ouellette. Scott Nason, thanks again. We'll check y'all next week here on the Hot Seat, Thursday night edition of the Game Sports Show. Thanks for listening to us, and we'll see y'all next Thursday. See ya!